Pleasure also to be here yesterday for that lovely wedding. It's great to see two young people whose desire it is to please the Lord, to be united in marriage. And incidentally, this evening at 7, I'll be speaking on the topic of honeymoon salad. I thought that would be appropriate. So if you want to hear about that, come on out tonight. Then if you heard about the bridegroom who was standing at the altar and it's time for the vows, and he turned to the preacher and he said, "That promise to love in sickness and in health, for richer, for poorer, for better, for worse, is that multiple choice or do I have to say yes to them all?" Well, the Lord in the second chapter of his book said, "It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him an help meet for him." And then he went on later in that chapter and said, "Therefore shall a man leave father and mother and cleave unto his wife, and the two shall be one flesh." Today is Father's Day, and I'd like to speak on our responsibilities as fathers, as husbands, and as fathers. Ladies, you can sit back and murmur an occasional amen if you want to, as I talk to the men about our responsibilities. The verse that I just quoted from Genesis 2 shows the high importance that God puts on being a husband and a father. In fact, it said that the first calling that man ever had before he had any other calling was to be a husband. So God puts high importance on it. And let me read to you also, this is from Genesis 18. It says, "Seeing," this is God speaking, "seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I know him, that he will command his children." Isn't that interesting? God chose Abraham, and here he says in the same breath, some of his reasoning, that he was going to be a good father. "He will command his children and his household after him, that they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him." Would you turn to Ephesians chapter 5, please, for our text for today to get some ideas as to what the Lord wants for us as husbands and as fathers. What kind of husband should I be? What kind of father should I be? Let's start reading in verse 21. "Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it." Verse 4, the next chapter, "And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." Listen to this 5-point description of society today. The rapid increase of divorce and the undermining of the home, which is the basis of human society. 2, ever-increasing taxes and the spending of public monies for free bread and entertainment for the people. 3, the mad craze for pleasure, sports becoming every year more riotous and more brutal. 4, the building of gigantic armaments when the real enemy is the decadence of the people. 5, the decadence of religion, faith, fading into mere formalism, losing touch with life, and impotence to guide the people. That was not written to describe our society today. That was written over 200 years ago in 1787 by the historian Gibbon as he listed the 5 reasons that he saw for the fall of the Roman Empire. My brothers in Christ, we have an opportunity to live the way God wants us to be good husbands, to be good fathers, to be islands of evidence of what God can do in a society that is really having problems today. And as we shoulder these responsibilities, good will result. We're reading here in Ephesians 5, in verse 25, husbands, love your wives. Be appreciative. Be appreciative of our wives. In Proverbs 18:22, we read, whoso findeth a wife, findeth a good thing. Doesn't matter if we've been married for a day, as Mark and Chris have, or been married for 50 years, we should appreciate what God has given us in our lives. Love your wives. Hold them in high regard. I think there's a good principle that we can learn, fellow husbands and fellow fathers, from the Word of God, and that is when I don't know how to handle a situation as a father or as a husband, think or look in the Word of God and see how does Christ handle a situation. Because it says, husbands, love your wives, even if Christ also loved us. How should I act as a husband? See how Christ acts to the church. How should I be as a father? How should I handle the situation that arises? How would my heavenly Father, how does he deal with me in similar situations? And I can get good ideas as to good teaching as how to handle my life. What kind of love does the Lord have for us? His is a giving love. He gave himself for us, we read in the Word of God. And we're singing about the Lord was crucified for us. Give for our wives. Ours should be a giving love. Christ's love for us is a long-lasting love. Having loved his own, to quote the Word of God, having loved his own, he loved them even unto the end. Ours is not a love that when we feel like it, we show love, and when we don't feel like it, we don't show love. Ours should be a long-lasting love, love as Christ loves us. Be appreciative of our wives. Joe and Harriet Wharton of England were married for 80 years. He was 104, and she was 102. And someone asked them about the secret for their long and happy married life. And this is what Joe, 104 years old, said. When you found a sweetheart as I did, carry on courting her for the rest of your life, just as you did before you took her to the altar. A long-lasting love. Christ's love for us is a leaving love. And again, we were singing about that a little while ago. He left heaven's glory for us. And this is what the scriptures say. Therefore shall a man leave father and mother and cleave unto his wife. There's a new relationship. Yes, there's always a love for a parent, but there's a new allegiance now that comes first. My wife and my family. How does the Lord think about us? Well, this is a description that he uses of us. Listen to these tender words that Christ uses for the church. Behold, thou art fair, my love. Behold, thou art fair. Thou hast dove's eyes. Thy teeth are like a flock of sheep that are even shorn. This is from the Song of Solomon. Thy lips are like a thread of scarlet, and thy speech is comely. Thou art fair, my love, and there is no spot in thee. Now, my fellow brother, if the Lord can say that of his church now, before we get to heaven, how much more can we say loving things to our wives? Oh, they're not going to be perfect, just like we're not perfect until we get to heaven. Be appreciative of our wives. Appreciate who the Lord has given us. And as a father, be appreciative of our children. In Psalm 127:3, we read, children are a heritage from the Lord. Happy is a man that hath his quiver full of them. You know, I can see the humor of the little bumper sticker that I'm sure you've seen of avenge yourself, live long enough to be a burden to your children. Well, yeah, it is kind of funny, but let us remember they are a heritage from the Lord. They are something, one to be appreciated. They're a gift, a very special gift from the Lord. We should appreciate them. They're a heritage from the Lord. Okay, what kind of husband and father should I be? Be appreciative. Secondly, be a leader. We read here in verse 23, the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. 1 Corinthians 11:3 says, the head of every man is Christ, and the head of every woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. Now this can be misunderstood. Does it mean that being head is to have my wife wait on me hand and foot? Oh, no. Okay, let's go back again to Christ. What kind of person is he? How does he lead me? Well, do you remember the time that he turned to his, when he was talking with his disciples, and he said, I am among you as one who serves. So to be a leader, as Christ is a leader, I must be as one who serves. Being the head of the house does not mean having a list of jobs for my wife every day when I head off to work and asking her to do them. No, it is being a servant. If both of us have an outside job, I won't say if both of us work, because working at home is a very busy work, but if both have an outside job, it means helping at home. If I am the only one bringing in the money from the outside, it is our money. I am serving my family, and it is our money. It is not my money versus hers. It is our money, because this is the way I am serving. It's being sensitive to her needs. To be a good leader, be sensitive. Not ordering, but how can I help her? How can I move things in the right direction? Be a loving decision maker. Be an initiator of things that are good. Taking responsibility, not just dumping it. No, being a leader, being head of the home, is not my being having things my way. You notice here in this verse, it says, wives, submit yourselves unto your husbands. Yes, that is a God-given principle. But notice in verse 21, exactly the same Greek word, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Should I submit to my wife as head of the house? Of course I should, because I'm told to here in the Word of God. Exactly the same word. Yes, I am head of the house. I am responsible before God as to what goes on. And I will stand before God one day and give an account of what's gone on in our home, because God holds me responsible as head of the house. But yes, I should submit to my wife, to submit to her needs. Should I, as father, submit to my children? Well, that's what it says, submitting yourselves one to another. And yes, I should submit to my child's needs. And that doesn't mean that the child run the house, that the child be the head of the house. No, I am the head of the house, but submit my needs to his. Now, when we were here a few years ago, Al LaFlemme gave a lovely illustration. He was talking about his winter time, and he was talking about, he just hates being out in the cold, apparently. And his children came in and said, Granddad, or whatever they call him, would you come out and play in the snow with us and make a snowman? The last thing he wanted to do was get out in that cold snow. And he said, yes, I'll be happy to. And he went out and he made snowmen with his grandchildren. He was putting his needs secondary to the needs of his grandchildren. Submit to my children? Yes. Put their needs ahead of mine. Yes, I may be dead tired, but if there's a need there that they have, I put their needs before mine. This is how I'm head of the household, by seeing that things go in a good direction. Above all, my fellow brother in the Lord, be a spiritual leader. Spend time in the Word of God. You know, we read in Philippians 3:8, these words, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. Is my job first? It shouldn't be. Christ should be first. Is my hobby first? It shouldn't be. Christ should be first. And after Christ, if he is first in my life, then everything else will fall in line. My family is a God-given responsibility. We see how important that is in God's eye. And yes, this should be above everything else. Beyond my responsibility, even at work, that doesn't mean I'm slipshod at my work, but my family comes first in the long run. Be a spiritual leader. You know, I don't know if you've noticed what I've noticed, but it seems that the ladies are more sensitive to the calling of the Lord. There's more women missionaries on the field than there are men. It seems that ladies' Bible studies always seem to flourish sooner and, maybe even in numbers than men's Bible studies. So often that's the case. But God tells us that we should be spiritual leaders. cute little poem that I'd like to read to you. We men are the stronger sex. It always has been so. We send our gifts to the mission field to which the women go. While up the steepest jungle paths a woman bravely treads, we men who are the stronger sex do pray beside our beds. While women leave to go abroad the heathen souls to reach, we men who are the stronger sex do stay at home and preach. While women in some far-off shack do brave the flies and heat, we men who are the stronger sex in cool and comfort eat. Fatigued and weary, needing rest, the women battle on. We men who are the stronger sex do rise and cheer them on. O valiant men, let us sleep and rest our weary heads. We shall not be the stronger sex if we neglect our beds. Be a spiritual leader, my brother. Take the responsibility that God gives us as head of the home. How do we do this? Make sure there's a family altar in your home every day. Yes, this can be tough in a busy life in which we live. I remember my father, I was one of seven children, and I remember my father trying hard to get our whole family together, nine people together for a Bible study every day, a Bible reading. But he pursued, and I thank the Lord for the impact it's had on each one of our lives. Be head of the house, be a spiritual leader. See that the things go in the direction God would have them to be. Be faithful at the meetings. Lead the family in faithful attendance at where the Word of God is preached. Incidentally, I thank the Lord for ladies whose husbands either do not know the Lord or who are not being a spiritual leader they should be, who are very faithful in getting their families to the meetings. I don't know if there's any such here. There certainly are in our own home assembly, and I thank the Lord for them. But brothers, we are the head of the house, and we should be spiritual leaders in our home. So first of all, be appreciative. Secondly, be a leader. Thirdly, be a teacher. Notice what it says here in chapter 6 and verse 4. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That word admonition means teaching. Bring them up in the teaching of the Lord. How should I be as a husband and as a father? Be a teacher. Would you turn and keep your finger in Ephesians? We'll come back to it, but turn to Psalm if you would. Psalm chapter 78. These principles are throughout the Word of God, and here's certainly one place where it talks about God intending for us to be a teacher, as a parent. Give ear, O my people, verse 1, to my law, and incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful work that he hath done. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers, that they should make known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children. See the pattern? Fathers, the sons, the grandsons, or granddaughters, all the way down the line, God intends us to be teaching through each generation, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. My fellow brother in Christ, be a teacher. Spend time in the Word of God, and then pass on what we have learned to our children. Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. 1 Timothy 5:8, if any man provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. Yes, this applies to taking care of them financially, but above all, how can we provide for them best? Provide for them spiritually. Be a spiritual leader. Teach. Be a teacher. How do we teach? We've already talked about a family altar, a time where we meet to read the Word of God. Can I pass on a few comments that my father passed on to me and have been a real help that we are using right now with our 9-year-old daughter? First principle of a family altar is make sure you have it. Awful easy to skip it when things get busy. You know what's interesting? I find when I'm on vacation, that's the easiest time for it to get overlooked. Seems that's when you should have the most time, but you're out of a regular routine. So make sure you have it at home. Figure out the best time. Maybe it's breakfast, maybe it's supper time, maybe it's another time, but try and have a regular routine so that automatically you finish dessert, you reach for the Bible. Another comment, and that is a suggestion, and that is make it short. Don't let it go on and on and on. Yes, thank the Lord, we enjoy the Word of God, but there's little kids, they find it hard to sit there for a long time to concentrate. Make it short, make it worthwhile. Thirdly, and this is done in our home also, expect each one to have a little comment. Gracie, what did you learn out of it this morning? And she comes up with a lovely comments that are good help to us. Expect each one to make a little comment. Keep people listening. Or for very small children, what you can do is say, okay, now listen good. There's going to be some questions. And I'll just bet that if someone can answer those questions right, there's going to be a candy for them. Whatever. When they're real small. And then as they get older, what did you learn out of that? As they get older and can read, read around. Or as was done with me and we did with Gracie before she was too young to read, sit on our lap. Now, Jesus said, and let her feel part of the family altar. Again, keep your hand in Ephesians 6. Turn to Deuteronomy 6, if you would. I am taking time to speak about this just because I think it's so important. Deuteronomy 6 and verse 20, it says, when thy son asketh thee in time to come, saying, what mean the testimonies and the statutes and the judgments which the Lord our God hath commanded you, then thou shalt say unto thy son, We were Pharaoh's bondmen in Egypt, etc., etc. Okay, here were people who were being exposed to what God had done for them. And after a while they said, well, what does this mean? Why do we have the Passover? I said, well, this is the reason. We were slaves in Egypt, and this is what the Lord did for us. You know, I love it when Gracie in our family Bible study says, Daddy or Mommy, why does this say so-and-so? And then we try and explain what we know of the Word of God. As we pursue the family altar, a little time every day in the Word of God, and this is where being a leader is important, to make sure that it is done, our children will ask us, what does this mean? This stimulates our thinking, well, I don't know about that, Gracie. I guess I'll have to study. Why don't we look it up and we'll see if we can come up with it and we'll talk about it tomorrow. Turn back a few verses, again in Deuteronomy 6, in verse 6. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt keep them diligently unto thy children, be a teacher, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, family altar, and when thou walkest by the way. I think there's a good principle, fathers. Look for opportunities every day about what's going on. You know, see that, we can say to a son, you know, see that man who opened the door for his wife? That was nice, wasn't it? That's what the Lord tells us to do, to love our wives. Or do you see that person who's hollering angrily, what do you think the Bible has to say about that? Well, yeah, the Bible tells us that we shouldn't talk like that. as we get, walk through life, use the illustrations that are around us to teach our children. As thou walkest by thy way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up, the whole time through the day, be a teacher of the things of God. Again, how did Christ act? He did the same thing. Remember one time he was sitting near the temple, and he said, called his disciples, and said, see that widow lady there? Did you see she just put in two mites? Notice the others were throwing in hundreds and hundreds of dollars. You know what? She gave more than all the others because she gave everything she had. As thou walkest by the way, the Lord taught his disciples, and he gives us this example for us to do. Talk about the Lord. Gracie, see that lovely sunset? Isn't the Lord quite an artist? He sure is. Boy, look at that wind blowing. Isn't the Lord powerful? As thou walkest by the way. A major part of being a good teacher is to be an example. And this brings us to the fourth point. The first was be appreciative. The second was be a teacher, be a leader. The third, be a teacher. And the fourth, be an example. Again, would you turn to Deuteronomy 4, if you would. Deuteronomy 4 and verse 9. Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life, but keep them to thy sons and thy sons' sons. Yes, we are to teach our children. What did he say first? He says, take heed to thyself. Fathers, it's so easy to tell our children one thing and do another. Do I tell my child to obey the law and then float along 10 miles over the limit knowingly? Do I tell my child to do what is right and then fudge a little bit when someone pays us too much, gives us too much change? Do our children see us do exactly the same thing as what we tell them to do? Take heed to thyself, then teach your sons and your sons' sons, because they'll see us, what we're doing. And yes, we're going to goof. Well, I sure do. And what we have to do is, Gracie, that wasn't right what I did, and I'm sorry, and I'm going to try and make it right. Take heed to thyself. You know, what we do, our children will follow after. Do you remember the story of Abraham? He told a half-lie. He said about his half-sister, who he married, Sarah, when he was scared for his life, he said, well, she's not my wife, she's my sister. Well, it was a half-lie and a half-truth. She was a half-sister, but she was also his wife. What did Abraham's son do? He told a whole lie. He married a woman who was nowhere near his half-sister, but he had seen what his father had done, and when he was scared for his life, he said, well, she's my sister. She was only his wife. She wasn't a half-sister. What we allow in our lives, we'll find our children tend to allow far more. And we allow this much leeway of drifting, and we're comfortable with that, but they'll go farther on. Remember, Rebecca was a crafty schemer. How did Jacob turn out? He was a crafty schemer too. He learned from his mom very well. Remember David's sin with Bathsheba? Remember when Amnon, his son, committed the same but more violent sin? David couldn't say a thing. Be an example, my brothers. Be an example. Watch our lives. Take heed to thyself. And then teach. And to take it on the positive side, we read in 2 Chronicles 26:4, Uzziah did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father had done. My father wasn't perfect by any means, but he was a lovely father. And he was a good example. And he taught us, by the way, and he taught us in his home. And I thank the Lord for that exampleship of his teaching. Uzziah did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Amaziah did. Proverbs 17:6 says, the glory of children are their fathers. I saw an example this one time. I was working in the emergency department. And this little girl, oh, I don't know, maybe 4 or 5 years old, walking along, holding her daddy's hand, and as she went by me, total stranger, she said, "He's my daddy." Fathers are the glory of their children. You know, are we being a glory for our children? You know, I remember the story, I read that book, Run Baby Run, a few years ago by Nicky Cruz. He was a man whom God gloriously saved, but before he was saved, he was a dope addict, and through dope he lost his family, lost his wife, lost everything. And his father's heart yearned for his children, and one day he went to the schoolyard where his children were playing, and he looked through the wire mesh in the schoolyard, and he saw his daughter. Pretty soon his daughter broke away from the others and came and said, "Daddy, please go away. Please go away. They're looking at us. Daddy, please go away." Are we the glory of our children? What kind of example am I for my children? Am I teaching by exampleship? I can be like Amaziah, who taught Uzziah by exampleship the type of person he should be. So fourthly, be an example. I ask you to turn to Psalm 127, please. Psalm 127. Again, we're talking about both husbands and fathers, and this is to take the father's side of it. This is verse 3 of the verse that we quoted earlier. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. Notice the phrase, children are arrows in the hand. Arrows have a purpose. Yeah, children aren't just ornaments. God is wanting us to shape them into something useful for Him. They're arrows in a quiver. And these are potential powers for God as we teach them and as we're an example to them and as we lead them in the things that are right. They are arrows for God to use for His purpose. Back to Ephesians 6 and verse 4. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That word nurture means discipline. Fifthly, be a loving disciplinarian. You know, too often, discipline can be sort of when we've sort of had it and everything breaks loose and like I've had it up to here and I'm going to discipline you. Well, that shouldn't be. We should discipline, not for the way we feel, but for what's going on. Be a loving disciplinarian. He that spareth a rod hateth his child. If we are loving disciplinarian, there will be no such thing as child abuse. There never, never should be. Both extremes are wrong, where we ignore our children and let them do whatever they want to. And certainly the extreme of child abuse is wrong. But if we are loving disciplinarians, bringing them up in the nurture, the discipline of the Lord. And fathers, it says here, provoke not your children to wrath. You know, we're bigger than our kids. Well, we are for a while. We're stronger than them. Yes, we can win the argument, but don't needle them. Don't push them to frustration. I saw this one time in the hallway of the emergency department office. A father was just bugging his child, just needling him, and the child was just driven to tears by frustration. This isn't loving discipline. Lay down the law, look, this is what's allowed, and that's it. Loving discipline. And again, remember, we're on a different level from them. Don't get down on their level and fight. This is what this father was doing. The kid would say something, a father would say something, a child would say something, a father would say something. He's getting down on the level and fighting. Don't do that. Be a loving disciplinarian. Be a leader. Be above it. This is the way it's going to be. And because God says it should be this way. Again, don't use God as a backup. But this is our leadership. This is my leadership. And therefore, this is what I'm passing on to you. Proverbs 11:29 says, "He that troubleth his own house shall inherit the wind." So don't needle our children. Don't provoke them to wrath. But be a disciplinarian. Yes, this is what we must do, and I abide by the same rules. And if I don't, you point it out to me, because I want to live by the same rules as what is right and what is wrong. Number 6, be consistent. What kind of father should I be? Well, again, what kind of father is my heavenly father to me? Turn on to James, if you would. Hebrews, James. James chapter 1 and verse 17. Every good and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of light, in whom is no variableness or variation, neither shadow of turning. Be consistent with our children, the way God, my Father, is consistent with me. Not that today I'll thank him because I'm mad, and tomorrow I let everything go because I'm feeling good. No, consistency. This is always wrong, so it is not allowed. This is the way to go. Be consistent, and only the Lord can give us the strength to be consistent in our how we work with our children. As far as punishment is concerned, it shouldn't be on the basis of the way we feel. It should be on the basis of what is right and wrong. And again, just to give you my own personal thinking, I don't think it's on a basis of spilling water on the carpet. Yes, it may ruin the carpet. But what was the child's attitude? Was it rebellion? Or was it just being childish? Now, if there was thoughtlessness, the child needs encouragement. Now, Gracie, you're kind of thoughtless there. And I'm not going to thank you, because I know that wasn't what you wanted to do. But be careful next time, because that's an expensive rug, and we're liable to have it ruined by spilling things on it. Or was it the fifth time we had told the child not to do something, and they did it anyway? This is the way the Lord refers to rebellion. He says in 1 Samuel 15, "Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as the iniquity of idolatry." We knew our children were into witchcraft. Boy, would we react? We certainly would. Well, Lord says rebellion is just like that. So if I see rebellion in my child, then this is a time for discipline. But be consistent with it, not on the basis of how I feel, but on what the Word of God says. Be consistent in what we tell our children and what we allow in our own lives. You know, one time I talked to Gracie about a tone of voice that she was using when she referred to something. And I said, "Gracie, you know, that isn't the best tone of voice to use. I would suggest you say it like this." She said, "Okay." A day or two later, she said, "Daddy, that thing you just said, that tone of voice you used, I don't mean to be smart, but..." And I listened to in replay to what I just said, and I said, "Gracie, you're right. I'm sorry for saying it that way, and I'll try and change." Be consistent in what we the standards we have for them and for ourselves. Turn to Proverbs 3, chapter 1, if you would. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 1. These words were written by the world's wisest man, other than Christ, of course, who was by far, far wiser. "My son," and now he's talking to his son, he's trying to do exactly what God tells him to do, to be a teacher, "forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments." And he goes on, and here's some commandments for him. Verse 5. "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding." A terrific advice. Man, how many times have we used that in our lives? Okay, Solomon passed on, Rehoboam became king, he came up with a problem. How shall I handle this? People said to him, "Are you going to be kind to us and easier than your father was, or are you going to be tough with us?" He says, "Give me 3 days, I'll think about it." Okay, perfect opportunity to take his father's advice. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. What did Rehoboam do? He listened to the old men, he listened to the young men, he took the young men's advice, and he acted harshly, talked harshly with the people, and they came back in 3 days, and he lost 10 of the 12 tribes. Now, what was the problem? He had been given good teaching. Why Solomon wasn't a good example? He had trusted, said, trust in the Lord, and lean not unto thine own understanding, and then he had started getting away from God. 300 wives, 700 concubines. He allowed things in his life and in his wives' lives that shouldn't have been. Rehoboam saw what he said, saw what he spoke on, or what an example he was, and he didn't follow the advice. So the importance of being consistent. What we tell our children, we do the same thing. The seventh point, which I think is very, very important, be a child of your Heavenly Father. What do I mean by that? If you have never accepted Christ as your Savior, it means that you don't have a Heavenly Father to guide you. It means that you don't have Jesus Christ in your life to show you the way to go, to show you how to be a good husband, how to be a good father. Seventhly, and most important of all, be a child of your Heavenly Father. How do we become a child of the Heavenly Father? Very easy. One time, a man, a learned man, came up to the Lord and said, well, let me just read it to you in John chapter 3. He said, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. No man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. What does the Lord say to his wife, this very learned man? He says, you must be born again. There's got to be a whole change in your life. You've got to pass, turn over everything to me, your sin, because I died for them, and you've got to be born into God's